2016, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the National English Language Word Definition Competition was held. The tie-breaking question was this: define the difference between the two words complete and finished. The winner was declared national champion with this answer. He said, if a man marries the right woman, he's complete. If he marries the wrong woman, he's finished. And then he continued, and he said, and if he marries the right woman, but is seeing the wrong woman on the side, then he will be completely finished. Father Bob Hunt was my personal friend. He was my spiritual advisor. He was my resource for theological clarification. And he was my preaching coach. And one time, in a coaching session, Father Hunt said to me, Deacon, during a homily, if you wish to drive home to your congregation an overarching point within the homily, humor can be a pretty effective tool. There is an overarching point to tonight's gospel that I would like to drive home to you, and it is this. No matter how similar in meaning two words might be, each word has a separate, distinct, unique, and different meaning. They don't mean the same things. Do good to those who harm you. How can you do that? Why should you do that? If somebody physically abuses you, love them. It seems Christ is saying, what if somebody harms your family? What if somebody murders one of your loved ones? Love them. Forgive them. Doesn't it seem that if you follow that instruction of Christ, you're simply going to empower people to perform more and more bad behavior, more unacceptable behavior? The problem is in the definition of words. The word forgive does not mean approve. The word love does not mean condone. Christ did not condone the behavior of the money changers in the temple. He drove them out with a whip. You know the story. If you think of Christ's culture at that time, to weave a whip, 4 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot long whip, at a time when I suppose leather had not yet been developed, cloth and fabric as we know it has not been developed, I would imagine to weave a whip out of what, hemp maybe? Probably took a very, very long time, maybe a day, maybe 2 days. What is the point? The point is when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, what he was doing was not a spontaneous, emotional reaction to what he was seeing. He did it with forethought, intention, deliberation. He did not condone their behavior. He did not approve of their behavior, and he was the man who loved everyone. Jesus did not condone the behavior of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You brood of vipers, he called them. And that was dangerous. Those men had power of life and death over people. And as history played out, we see that that was true. He did not condone their behavior. You see, the confusion with this gospel so many times, I think, is this. Christ's focus, as he gives you these instructions, is not on those who are doing the poor behavior. It's not on them and their need for your love and their need for your forgiveness. That's not what he's talking about. His focus is on you and your need to love, your need to forgive. You see, you were made to love. You were created by love, for love, to love. There is no reason for you to be on this earth, any reason at all, except one, only one, exclusively one, and that is to love. You were not on this earth to feed the hungry. You were not placed on this earth to clothe the naked. You were not placed on this earth to oppose abortion, and you were not created to defend the condemned. The only reason for your creation is for you to love. Now, make no mistake about it. If you love someone, sure, and you know they're hungry, of course, you couldn't stand that. You will feed them. If you love someone and you know they haven't got sufficient clothing, you couldn't stand that because you love them, so you will clothe them. If you love the unborn, you'll protect them. If you love the condemned, you will protect them. But the only reason for you to love, to live, is for you to love. It's very important. Sin is a word that comes down to us from the ancient Greeks when they had competitive archery. If the archer missed the target, there would be a spotter standing next to the target, and in order to let the archer know you missed the target, he'd stand up, raise his hand, and cry out in a loud voice, "Sin!" Because the ancient Greek word sin meant off the target. Your target in life is for you to become a person of love. And when you fail to love, you sin. And Paul said, the wages of sin are death. Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven if you are a person of hatred. If you become a person of vengeance, if you become a person of anger and animosity, you can only enter the kingdom of heaven if you become a person of love. And that's what Christ is saying. You must always be careful that the behavior of others, no matter how painful, doesn't prevent you from being a person of love, doesn't cause you to grow into a person of hatred. Paul said, the wages of sin are death. He also said, the gift of love is eternal life. That's what Christ is calling you to do. That's what he means by love everyone. And then he summed it up beautifully and eloquently in 8 simple words. Love one another as I have loved you. And then he role modeled it. Well, for just a minute, I'd like to change the subject. I'd like to talk about the Catholic appeal. Oh, gosh. The minute I said that, I know what happened in most people's brains. Oh, yeah, he told me be a person of love, and now he'll tell me one way to love is to give money to the appeal. Now, if any of you think that, let me assure you right here and now, you are absolutely correct. That's what I'd like you to do. Suppose you see a guy downtown, a homeless man, you throw him a $10 bill. That's an act of love, and that's wonderful of you to do that. And you probably allowed him to buy a sandwich. You send the same $10 to the Catholic appeal, and you're helping to fund an entire soup kitchen for an entire year. You see, if you are very, 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 very wealthy, and you can contribute hundreds of thousands of dollars to people, or if you're very poor and you can only contribute $5, or if you're in the middle and you can contribute $100, no matter how much you can contribute, when you put in a fund like Catholic Appeal, that contribution becomes so strong and so powerful that it can accomplish more than any contribution of you by itself. There is power in coming together. And yes, generosity is an act of love. Last weekend was the appeal. Father Carlos, myself, Father Vincenzo, Father Kerber, very grateful for the appeal reaction and a response. This weekend is a continuation. I'm going to stop now. Whew, glad he said that. Right outside at the end of this pew, right next to the baptistry, there is a basket of envelopes. So if you want to contribute this week to the Catholic appeal, do not just drop money in the plate. Get an envelope, put it in the envelope, drop the envelope in the plate. Now I get some good news. I'm all done. Oh, thank you.
You meant to say you're complete.